Hi, welcome to The Art of Semi-Fiction. I am Robin Miller.
And I'm Jane Daly.
And today we are going to be talking about four common mistakes that, I was going to say new writers, but really it is just all writers.
Only four? Thanks.
We're only going to talk about four. We're going to start with four. And for the next 30 podcasts, we're going to be talking about all the other
all
ones.
All the other ones, made. Okay.
And I'm still learning new ones that I'm making. So
brace
that
yourselves.
List, yeah, that list can
it's
get
It's going
to
be
bigger.
A long haul.
I have to have a little caveat
at
the beginning to say that we're coming, most of what we podcast is, even though we're Christian writers, writers who are Christian, I don't know how you could be a Christian plumber, so I'm not really sure. That's something that Tim Hawkins, the comedian,
yes.
talks about, yes. So I'm a Christian who writes,
okay.
is what I think. But most of what we talk about applies to just the craft of writing or just writing in general. But this topic, some of it is going to be specifically for a Christian writer.
Okay.
So that's the
caveat.
That doesn't apply to you, maybe. There's going to be some non-specific, but the opening one really is where this applies to Christian writers.
Okay.
So the first common mistake that writers make is assuming that being called to writing means you're going to be super rich and famous. I know.
What? You mean you're not?
Not
oh,
necessarily.
Man.
I know. What's the point? What's the point? And I get the reason why people feel that way. If they feel super compelled to write and they feel super compelled to talk about a subject, that kind of logical progression, us planners, people who like to plan, we think if we go down this road, then this will happen, and then that will happen, and pretty soon, at the end of it, is Francine Rivers, you know?
Or Karen Kingsbury.
Yeah, exactly.
Robin Jones.
Max Lucado, you know,
oh,
whoever
yes.
it is, whoever it is. But when you do that, when you look at the end, it's kind of like the old scripture about not worrying about tomorrow, you know? Today's got enough troubles of itself.
Amen.
Really, when God calls you to write, He's calling you right now to do something. And that something doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go in a logical, worldly direction. It means that He's calling you to do that right now. So you do that. And there are many, many reasons why writing is being called to write could have unbelievable benefits. But not necessarily the financial, you know.
Well, right. And one of the future podcasts that we're going to do is, why do you write?
Yeah.
What's the why? What's your big why?
Exactly. Because that answering that question is going to dictate just about every aspect of your writing.
But going back to what you said, you are probably not going to be rich and famous. It's very difficult to be on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
As an author who writes from a Christian worldview, even less so.
Exactly.
So if your goal is to write, to be published and be on the New York Times bestseller list, good luck.
Yeah. It is very difficult. It's not impossible. And God you may be the next Francine Rivers, you know, you may be, but if you do have that end result, don't miss all the other things that you can get along the way. And we talked about this when you were talking about journaling.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how healing journaling is.
Right.
And I mentioned that when people are writing something, when my writing clients are writing a personal narrative or memoir, that is extremely emotional. And it's kind of clear that they haven't, you know, gone through to the other side
mm-hmm.
yet. I suggest using a journal.
Right.
Because writing is healing. Getting it out of you, getting it on paper. We talked about letting whatever is going on that's kind of ugly, bring it into the light
mm-hmm.
where we can process it and we can see it for what it is. Writing can be so unbelievably healing for you alone.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you are healed, you're a better wife. And you are a better friend, and mm-hmm. you are a better mom. You are a better everything if you're not carrying around some of the nasty garbage from your past.
Well, and let's talk about how it's not wrong to want to make money from
yeah.
writing. That's a fallacy that if we're writing from a Christian worldview, we shouldn't be concerned about ever earning a dollar and we'll do it all for free. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if that's your only goal is to be rich and famous, probably not going to be the best way for you to get there.
Exactly. So looking at the deeper kind of benefits, I think keeps you where your focus needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Another, besides our own healing, you can also, your meeting, we talked about this on the one about writing conferences, mm-hmm. the podcast about writing conferences, how you meet and fellowship with your tribe. You always want to connect with people who have your same worldview, your mm-hmm. same, you know, just morals, your same sense of humor, your same interest. There's all sorts of ways that we connect. And of course, when you write, you might go to conferences, you might go to workshops, you might go to writers groups, critique mm-hmm. groups, whatever. So you're getting around your tribe. Yeah, your tribe.
Your peeps.
So it could be just that kind of fellowshipping. Writing anything, no matter what you're writing, improves your writing for other things.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a training ground. Mm-hmm. So you don't just say, well, oh, if this project isn't going to get me, you know, on the New York Times bestselling list, I'm not going to write it. Write it. If you're compelled to write it, it may be that you're being trained and your writing skills are improved to get you ready for that project that might have a larger appeal and impact.
Absolutely.
Discipline. Writing is a good discipline.
Yes, it is.
It really, especially in lives like ours, where we're called upon it from many angles. Our time is, you know, sucked up by work mm-hmm. and other things that we do. So when we've got just fragments of time to write,
snippets of time.
You need to have discipline to be able to use that time wisely. And I think that that's important. To learn in all aspects of our lives, to use our time wisely, because mm-hmm. what everybody, you know, the old statement of, you know, every day is precious, you know, it's time is fleeting. We have mm-hmm. only got a limited amount of time. So it helps you be disciplined. And also writing can encourage others, even if it's not New York Times bestseller stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it's a greeting card, a meme, a blog post, a note, an mm-hmm. email to somebody specific, or in your writing group. I've been incredibly blessed and encouraged by critiquing other people's work. It may never be published, but I've gotten to see it. Yeah. I've been encouraged in it. So there's a million reasons that being called to write, for a new writer, often they want it to mean the money and the New York Times bestselling stuff, but there's benefits all over the place for writing.
Absolutely.
So engage in it and let, as we keep talking about West Coast Christian writers, Bill Giovanetti, who gave us that wonderful, we're responsible for faith. God's responsible for
outcomes.
This is a prime example of
Absolutely.
That. If he's calling it, don't worry about why he's calling it.
Don't worry about where it's going to end up.
Yeah. Just do what God's calling you to do.
Okay.
Here's another common mistake. Expecting the process to be quick.
You mean it's not?
Tell me, Jane, how long between when you first started writing, let's just go with Caregiving Season.
Okay.
Started writing it till when it was first published.
Oh, easily 2.5-3 years.
And about how much of that was from the time you signed the contract for the book till it got published?
A long time.
The average is between 1.5 to 2 years. Yeah.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
The contract was, it was like a year and a half.
Yeah. And that's pretty quick. There's some contracts are from 2-2.5 years.
Well, and so, I had already had a lot of the book written, but still, yeah, it was not a quick process, as anything in publishing is. It moves at the speed of a glacier.
Absolutely. And that, unfortunately, is a mistake that, you know, we think as soon as it leaves our hot little hands, you know, we've given birth to it.
We're going
to
get a contract.
By Tuesday.
I will get an advance check on Wednesday. And by next week, it'll be on the shelves of Barnes & Noble.
Exactly. And even the process of getting paid. One of our mutual friends, Debbie Kitterman, launched a book in, it was in August, I believe. August, yes. And it was The Gift of Prophetic Encouragement. It's a great book. But it was interesting for me to even hear that it's two, with her publisher, it's 2 times per year she gets a royalty statement. So,
wow, that's not very often.
No, it's not very often. And there are some that do a little bit more frequently, quarterly. Mm-hmm. Nobody does it that I know of monthly. And some do it annually, I've recently heard.
Wow.
So some of the smaller houses, that's what they do because it's, they're doing smaller number of books and it's just,
yeah.
It costs them money to do the accounting.
Right.
To, you know, so if you're expecting to get paid quickly,
not going to happen.
No. And even just meeting relationships, we think I've really hit it off with that agent or mm-hmm. that editor. So clearly they're going to sign me today.
Right.
And we'll be off. But these are all relationships, and just like friendship,
it takes time. Well, I remember when I first pitched, at the time I didn't have an agent, so I pitched the caregiving season to focus on the family, and it was probably a good 1 to 3 months before I got an answer back. I mean, it was shorter. It was a month to month and a half. They sent it back and they said, "We like it, but we don't like the title, and some of the chapters make us uncomfortable." Chapter titles.
Yeah.
So redo it and send it back. Well, then, you redo it and send it back, and then you're waiting another month and a half for them to send back and say, "Okay, we like it. We're taking it to the marketing committee, and we'll get back to you in about 3 weeks." So then you're waiting another 3 weeks. And then, oh, the marketing committee didn't meet, or they already had too much on their agenda. So then it's another 3 weeks till they meet again. And then it's, okay, we're going to send you a contract, but it goes into a queue of contracts. And so exactly. Then you're waiting another month and a half, and you get the contract, you sign it, you send it back. I mean, how, like, we're like 6 months now.
Yeah. And when you think that it's happening, that 6 months is excruciating.
Oh, it's the worst because you're checking your email at least twice a day or every hour. But I wouldn't personally do it every hour.
Every half hour. Only maybe.
Other people might be that obsessive, but not I.
But I think that when you're waiting for something, wanting to know, it's kind of like worrying that it's going to fall out of escrow. You know, your house every 5 seconds because everything's done. You've got all the positive stuff, but until the contract is signed, until it's done and dusted, it's not really 100%.
Right. So, and even then I had the fear that they're going to change their mind. They're going to want their money back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's going to happen now at this point.
No, nothing. I'm over that.
So another thing that writers tend to do, as we all do, I have four kids, and two of them would eat the thing that they like most on their plate first, and two would like or leave the thing that they liked most to last. And some people do that with their writing careers. They will leave the things that they don't like to do to last, and other people want to get it out of the way. Kind of thing.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yep. So one of those things that mistake that new writers make is ignoring the whole platform question.
Oh, that ugly word, platform. Yes.
Because if you don't kind of get that in the oven, it's kind of like I'm going to call it a turkey.
Okay.
You're not going to wait till your guests arrive to pop a 20
pound
turkey. Well, if
you do, you're a very poor host.
Whew. And that really is what a lot of people, it's kind of the equivalent thing. If you are waiting until your book is done and you're pitching it and you haven't addressed anything to do with platform, then you're in trouble because it takes time and effort and slow roasting.
Platform takes a long time to develop because you need to build up your following. You need to have a website.
Nope.
You need to, you know, if you're going to blog, you have to that up and running. It is a lot of work.
Yep.
But if you're going to be a professional, it's just part of what you have to do.
Yeah. And if you don't, it's kind of like, you know, if you do a little bit of cleaning every day, it's a lot easier to do than if you just shove everything into a couple of rooms and then you need those rooms for guests and you have to spend hours and hours and hours cleaning it. If you start slow and easy at a low heat, to start putting mm-hmm. together your platform, it's not going to be overwhelming. When you first started writing and with your first book, when you got the contract, did you feel like you had well prepared and you could just, you know, let the process happen, or did you have a little bit of makeup to do, a little bit of scrambling at the end there?
I had blogged regularly for basically the blog a lot of what was in the blog was in the book.
Yeah.
So there was that, but I didn't have a marketing plan in mind. And so, yeah, there was that, oh my goodness, now I have to get the word out. And so it was getting, you know, going on Twitter for me, going on Twitter and creating a Facebook author page and, and that. At least I had a blog though. I will say I had a blog. I did not wait till last second. I had the blog that I was doing regularly and asking people to subscribe to it.
But when, if you had to do it all over again,
I would do it differently. I would do more. I would do more now, which, you know, I'm working on a project, a nonfiction project. And so I'm trying to get ahead of that and say, okay, what can I do now to get that platform built before I actually get a contract for the book?
Because that will be part of you getting a contract. The publisher is not going to say, well, the book's great, and we trust that you are going to have a platform. They want it to be a package deal. Yeah,
absolutely.
However, a caveat to that is you don't need to kill yourself. One of the most freeing things that Kathy Lipp, who talks about marketing, does a brilliant job with Communicator Academy and Clutter Free Academy, and as a speaker and a teacher on writing, is to say, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Just pick the two things that you feel like you can do. Like, I don't know what it is. I hate Instagram. I don't know. I don't want to live stream, you know, me eating a donut or what. Well, not that I eat donuts. Clearly, I don't eat donuts. But I don't want to do that. I don't, but I like Twitter and I like Facebook. But Facebook, I've kind of made a mistake on because I kind of made my professional and my personal interbreed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Pinterest and Twitter are
Yeah,
are
you were mentioning Pinterest was really good for you, whereas I don't get it. I don't get Pinterest, but I love Instagram.
Yeah.
And so I post on Instagram a lot.
So do that, because if you like it, you understand it, enjoy it. I mean, I get like 80,000 a month interaction with people on Pinterest. I get that. So that's what I should do.
Right. But the point is we can't ignore it. We can't ignore platform.
Don't ignore it and don't kill yourself. And always focus on what is serving your audience.
Right. Yeah.
So the last one of the four common mistakes.
This is like your bugaboo.
It is mine. I admit it. Failing to follow rules.
Ooh, that's right. Because we are both rule followers.
We are.
And there's people out there who don't follow rules. Yeah. Shame on you.
Rules are there for a reason. And as we talked about in the ways to not get published, that kind of tongue-in-cheek thing that we did, really, when you're not following rules, whether those are the submission guidelines, you know, basic just deadlines and following the guidelines of submissions and whatever – You're showing yourself not to be a team player. You're showing yourself to not necessarily think that you are one of a team. You know, you're unique and should have special kid gloves kind of.
You're also not treating it as a business, because a lot of writing, if you're going to be published, a lot of writing is business, and it's something that you just can't get away from. And
exactly.
In business, there are rules that you follow.
Exactly. You know? And basic writing, learning that. We hear this all the time in basic writing classes or beginning writing classes. Learn all the rules before you break them intentionally. Right. The number of times people think that they can break rules initially, but they really don't have a reason for it. Yeah, let's follow the rules until we understand them and break them intentionally.
Right.
So,
and the rules do apply to you. They apply to everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there are rules
like I think you mentioned, deadlines, dates, formatting. If you're submitting something, recently I did a writing contest and it said, we want a synopsis that is no more than one page, single spaced, and we want the first 1500 words, double spaced with the page number here and the title here. And it's very stressful, but I wanted to make sure that my submission was accepted. So I had to shrink everything down to one page and make sure that my margins were correct, because otherwise, boom, they kick it back and say, you didn't follow the rules.
Exactly. So
no more contests for you.
So don't make that mistake.
That is a big one.
You'll rob yourself of opportunities in contests, in submitting, with agents, with editor, pretty much in every aspect if you don't learn how to follow rules. Writing will not be as strong as it could be.
You'll look very unprofessional.
Very much. So the four Again, okay. We're going to have to do a whole series on this. But the four common mistakes that we're talking about today were assuming being called means that you're going to be super rich and famous, expecting the process to be quick, ignoring platform, and failing to follow rules.
All right.
So those are our four common mistakes that writers make. Don't make any of them.
Don't make them.
None.
Well, you've been listening to The Art of Semi-Fiction, where we explore every corner of the written word. I'm Jane Daly.
And I'm Robin Miller. And if you would please like and subscribe us, we would deeply appreciate it.